listening to Live from Mount Sinai on the TalkWarrior.com radio network. This is Moisha. I'm here to defend God's law, fight evil, and bash some Republicans. Broadcasting live. Today is Sunday, October 3rd, 2004. The time is 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific. You can call in at 415-738-0689. That's 415-738-0689. Our website is TalkWarrior.com. Was the Ugly Janitors of America. It was recorded live at Chemo's, June 4th, 2004, San Francisco, California. It was composed by John Truby. And if you want information about John Truby, please go to our website, talkwarrior.com. He is just, I just think he's just fucking amazing. I think that in terms of the greatest living composers, you have, you know, maybe Paul McCartney, Ray Davies on the right side of the Atlantic. And on the left side of the Atlantic, you got John Truby. I mean, I don't know. You might argue that Bo Diddley is just as good, but that's he's blues, and that's like comparing apples and oranges. I'm not even going there. But John Truby is amazing, and I tell you that woman who sang on that track, Laurie Amat. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. A-M-A-T. I swear to God, I just fell in love with this woman just hearing her voice. I mean, she's just pouring her soul out into that. I'm just breathless. This is a talk show, and we don't, our format is not really music, but we've decided to add some John Truby. You can say that this is, I would say that TalkWarrior.com is now the official John Truby capital of the world. It's like official John Truby headquarters. Actually, no, I actually shouldn't say that. I never, you know, I talked, when I was talking to John Truby, never, I never said, is it okay if we say I'm the official, you know, radio station of John Truby? So let's just say we're like the de facto station of John Truby. Okay? We're like a renegade government that's moving in, and we're saying, fuck it, we're John Truby fans, and we don't give a shit, and we're the leaders in John Truby fanship. Fuck it. Okay, let's get on with the show. Again, this is a talk show. It's 415-738-0689. You can call in. You cannot call in. I don't give a shit. You know, my feeling is, you know, if people want to call, fine. If not, you know, fuck them. That's okay. Because we are strategically exposing TalkWarrior.com to people all over the United States and the world. We are spreading TalkWarrior like a virulent biological contaminant to a few unsuspecting individuals, and we're doing it one city by a time. We're just infecting. We're just infecting you. Okay? We're going to get to you. Sooner or later, we're going to infect the whole fucking world. All right? Now, and let me tell you, the reason why I'm saying it's okay not to call, because you may not be calling in. You may be chicken shit. But my listenership is going up. Okay? A month ago, we were averaging 2 listeners. Now, we have almost 3 listeners. Okay? We're like 2.9. Okay? So that's a whole 9/10 of a listener. Okay? That's not something to fuck around with. I mean, at this rate, I have calculated this mathematically. By the time I'm dead, I will have about, if everything keeps going at this rate, at this pace, I will have 50 or 60 listeners. I'll die a pathetic death. I'll be like a loser, nobody, but at least I'll have 50, you know, listeners. And when the rabbi, you know, he's got to say something nice. You know how it is at funerals. It's like, I don't know about, you know, Gentile funerals, but, you know, and you go to a Jewish funeral. I've only been to one, but it's like the rabbi just creates all this fiction about, you know, not really about how good the person was, but how, like, beloved the person was. And and the rabbi will probably say, boy, this guy, he had 50 listeners. Maybe even he'll say 60 listeners. And everyone will go, oh, okay, he was like a popular, beloved guy. We all loved him. Boy. So I'll have something. I won't die in total shame. I mean, I will die, you know, a pathetic death. I'm sure I won't have a girlfriend, you know, I'll still probably be unemployed, ungirlfriended, but, you know, at least I'll have those 50 listeners a day to my credit. So, stick that in your patootie, or however that expression goes. Shut up your ass! Alright. I'm kidding a little bit. We're not actually doing 2.9 listeners a day. We're actually doing 10 listeners a day. And we started from nothing. So, and we are making some very modest gains every week. Now I want to, you know what I want to do? I want to talk about party symbols, okay? And I want to, you know, it's like, you know how like the Republicans have the elephant and the Democrats have the donkey. And I don't think that these animals are really representative of the parties. I don't know who invented these crazy animals. It's just crazy. Because, I mean, this is what I propose, that we change these the party animals. And I'm proposing this, that we change the Republican animal from an elephant and change it to a snake. I think that's far more like a Republican. It's a snake. It's some as Republican is a slithering little bastard. And he's cold-blooded. Perhaps maybe a vulture. That's better, because the vulture just sort of is exploitative, and it just preys on the, you know, the dead or the soon to be dead. Maybe a turkey vulture. Yeah, I think that should be the official animal of the Republican Party. As for Democrats, I'm giving it a lot of thought, and I'm thinking maybe sheep. The sheep, party of the sheep, or the party of the chicken. How's that? The chicken. I think that's great. Or maybe you want to go with an animal without a backbone. I'm thinking, you know, jellyfish, something without a spine, spineless animal. So I think that the Republicans should switch to the turkey vulture, or any type of vulture would do. And the Democrats should go, I think they should stick with the chicken, because they're a bunch of chicken shit suck-ups. Bunch of appeasers, placators, you know, they suck. Okay, you know, while we're talking about donkeys, I just have to bring this up. You know, I talked about an internet girlfriend I had a few shows ago. Her name is Jane, and she's from Wales. And I once sent her, I had made this film, and I took a lot of scenes, I shot a lot of scenes in front of this, like, this beach that was in front of this white ghetto I used to live in Hull, Massachusetts. And just for the record, the place was called the Sandpiper. And the landlord tried to not return my security deposit when I left, and I sued the fucker, and I won. I just wanted to throw that in. I know I shouldn't have done that, because I'm losing my thread. But it was just one of the few times in my life when I'd beaten the man. And I don't know. I just had to say it because I'm just so pathetic. It's like the 50 listener thing, you know? It's like, yeah. Well, anyways, so and I sent her the film, and she's saying, "Where are the donkeys? Where are the donkey rides?" And I didn't know what the fuck she was talking about. What is this? This donkeys, donkey rides, but apparently, and this is an amazing fact, apparently in the UK they have donkey rides, like, I guess they have them all along the coast, and I thought she was crazy when she asked me about, you know, where's the donkeys, but you know, I think she thought I was crazy because there was no donkeys, and I thought she was crazy because she's talking about these donkeys. I mean, I've never seen a donkey in my life. I've never seen a live donkey. I don't know what they look like. I mean, it's weird, it's like, this is one of the, probably the biggest secrets, the cultural secrets between the British and the Americans. It's like, they have donkey rides for children on their beaches, and we don't. I never got around to asking her, like, what do they do with all the donkey shit? I mean, it must get kind of messy. I mean, do they have pooper scoopers? How do they deal with that? Well, I am going to go into, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to play a PSA, and then we'll get back to the show. We'll see you in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is Moisha, and I need your help. There is evidence that people are trying to subvert our show's ratings. If you like Live from Mount Sinai, I need you to show your support by clicking the little left thumb in the upper right corner of your Live 365 player window. I'm going to repeat that. To help me, you can click the little left thumb in the upper right corner of your Live 365 player window. If you need help doing this, go to our website at talkwarrior.com and we will help you. If you're retarded, we'll help you. No problem. Okay? But we need your help. We can't do it without you. I can't do it without you. Riz can't do it without you. We are lost without you. That's why we need you. All right? So help me, help us, help the show. It's not only a matter of clicking the little left thumb. You need to tell your friends about the show, because I can't tell your friends for you, because I don't know the fuckers, okay? I'm sorry, I'm a little angry because I'm not getting my support, so I'm calling, you know, my beloved fans, friends fuckers, but I don't mean to do that. I'm just angry. So all I ask is that you help me to help you by bringing you the show. Just do it, okay? It's like the Nike commercial. Help me do it. Just do it. I'm not asking you for money, just your support. Please help me. If you believe in what we're doing, and if, even if you feel sorry for what we're doing, help us. Help me. Help Riz. Help the show. Help the world. Just do it. Help us. Help me, please. Thank you.
Okay, we are back. Now, that's... will probably be the last time I will play that PSA because I mentioned Riz. Riz will no longer be on the show anymore, and we're going to get into our divorce later on. But first, we're going to... I'd like to talk about... I would like to remind you that George W. Bush... was a cheerleader for Phillips Andover Academy. This is an undeniable fact. It's not like WMD. He was actually a cheerleader. And if you don't believe me, you can go to their website. I don't have the exact URL, but just Google Phillips Andover Academy, and you will find it. And... I just want to say that George Bush is a sissy. He's a sissy. He is a cheerleading sissy. And I believe he has sexual confusion over his identity. Now, I just want to mention just one more thing. There is a photo of George Bush cheerleading at Andover Academy to prove that he is a sissy. Now, recently, a friend of mine argued. You know what, folks? I have to shut the door to my bathroom, and let me tell you why. It's driving me fucking crazy. It's because I just have to stop here because, like, I live in public housing, and it's like they just sit on their ass all day, and I get fucked up plumbing, and I gotta close the door because the sound of all the water is driving me crazy, man. I'll be right back. Okay, I just probably lost about all of my live listeners, if there is any, and I will edit out the delay. But anyways, I was talking about George Bush and his pom-pom waving, and a friend of mine, I had an argument with him about it, and he says that, you know, just because George Bush is a pom-pom boy, doesn't make him not a real man. And you know, maybe I'm a conservative, and I'm just sort of screwed up in my thinking, I have backwards thinking, but I really believe that, you know, this is not a thing. Real men do not wave around pom-poms. They do not become cheerleaders. And I really, you know, I really believe that this is indicative that his early sexual identity crisis was symptomatic of the sociopathic personality disorder that developed later in life. Now, you know, and first let me just tell you why I believe George Bush is a sociopath, okay? Sociopaths, they don't really care what people think about them. They do whatever they want. They, you know, commit mass murders, and they don't feel guilty. They live in their own private Idaho. Now, and this is why I believe George Bush is a sociopath. I mean, I'll give you a few examples. Now, when he was at Camp David with his father, he was snorting cocaine. There is at least one eyewitness. Someone has gone on record to say that he is, you know, did some coke at Camp David. But this is a typical sociopath. They feel that they can do whatever they want. Another example is that he invades a sovereign country, kills thousands of women and babies, you know, for what? Not for the WMD. It's for Halliburton and Exxon. You know, and this is not something like someone that had any type of moral fiber, someone that you know, normal people can just lie and murder. You know, they just can't do it without guilt. They can do it, but they feel bad about it. But he doesn't seem to have any guilt about it. And I think, you know, because it's just more and more denial of any guilt. He never accepts any responsibility for what he does. But, you know, but again, I believe, you know, it's like mass murderers, sociopathic personality types you don't just become a sociopath. This doesn't come out of nowhere. You know, there's early indications of it in childhood. Like mass murderers, they typically have a history of abusing animals. Now, I think that George Bush's cheerleading behavior, you know, his sex role confusion as a young man, as a boy, really was indicative of his sociopathic personality. Now, so we're going to move on to the next topic, but I really want to reinforce the fact that George Bush was a cheerleader and he is a sissy. Even if you don't believe that, I'm going to say that, because if you say something again and again, people will believe it. Okay? I mean, that's why, I have a friend who's got like a master's degree in mathematics, very educated guy, and he still thinks he's a WMD in Iraq. You know? He still thinks we should be there. And he's a Democrat. And, I don't get it. I really don't get it. But, again, this is not fiction. George Bush is a sociopath. He was a cheerleader. He is a sissy. He's a sissy cheerleader. Sissy cheerleader. Sissy, sissy, sissy. All right, I think I drove that through enough. Let's move on. All right, we're moving on to the marriage between the problems with the marriage between Riz and myself. When I mean a marriage, I don't mean a physical marriage. You know, Riz is married to a beautiful woman, and I'm married to my right hand, and so. I just mean a relationship. You know, we had like a union for the show. Okay, we're doing the show together, and I told Riz early on, I said, before we decided to do the show together, before I decided to do the show together and wanted him as a guest host, I said, look, you ever watch Conan? And I said, okay. Remember Andy? And I said, okay, now look, you are Andy, I am Conan. Your job is to just kiss my ass, all right? And not really kiss my ass, but just support me, you know? I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm like a power freak, all right? I'm not, you know, I don't like anyone moving in on my ridiculous, little pissing ground of this, talk show that 10 people a day are listening to, But I'm a fucking tyrant. Don't get me wrong. I admit to that. But, he's trying to, usurp my authority. And it's like, it was becoming like the Beatles. I don't even know if I'm using that word right, usurp my authority. I don't know. He was like a usurper. He was usurping the show. He was a fucking usurper. He was usurping. But anyways, it was like the Beatles, and I was like Paul McCartney. I was the glue that held the show together. And I'm just trying, I had to, call him after the show, every show, to, cool him down and get everything cool. And he was like John Lennon. And he's, doing his own thing. And then we had, the Yoko factor. And that was, Bill. And Bill was Riz's friend. And Bill was, a de facto third host, because he would, call. All the time. Bill he's a good guy. He's sort of a racist, so that sort of put me off. But he's he actually made a good guess. But anyways, no one told me about Bill. It's like Bill just popped in, and no one told me about anything. It's like, and let me tell you the basic squabble that Riz and I were having, okay? It's like, Riz, on the first show we did, I didn't mean for this to happen. We were talking about, plastic surgery and grafting, you know, women's labia to their lips, and then we then and we're talking about like Angelina's Jolie's vagina for like half an hour or something. It's like it was never meant to happen. The only reason why it happened because, you know, it's like there's lots to talk about, you know, vagina. I guess especially Angelina's Jolie's vagina. I mean, I want nothing to do with her vagina, or her father. Voight. He's just a right winger. I want nothing to do with that whole family. But, you know, it's like Riz wants to talk sex, and you know, I feel embarrassed talking about sex, and I'll tell you why. You know, I'm just a crusty old guy pushing 40, and so is Riz. We're like almost the same age. And let me tell you, it shouldn't be legal for guys our age to publicly talk about sex. You know, it just isn't right. It isn't normal. You know, I mean, it's like, it embarrasses me. You know, when young women see guys my age, you know, what they see, they don't see, you know, middle-aged guy. They see some geriatric, crusty old guy that wears diapers and eats prunes. And that would be half correct. I don't wear diapers yet, but at one point I was eating prunes, you know, because I got bowel problems. But that's what happens when you get old and crusty, man. You can't help it. You know, it really embarrasses me, and I don't like to talk about it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not like a prude. I mean, it's like when I'm talking to Riz on the IM, you know, I'm a big Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan, and our conversation, it usually goes like this. It goes, well, I asked Riz, well, who would you rather have sex with? Sarah Michelle Gellar and Charisma Carpenter or Allison Hannigan, you know? And I always pick Allie, but it's I don't know. And here's, you know, so I'm not a prude. We talk about it. I just like to keep it, like, I like to just keep it, you know, it's just like a conversation between dirty old men, and I don't like to go public with it because I'm embarrassed. Also, Riz was, like, really upset that I would talk about John Kerry, you know, and I wasn't really nice in the way I talked about John Kerry. I think John Kerry sucks, you know. I think he's a fucking warmonger. I think he's got blood on his hands, and I think he's a hypocrite. He wants his cake, and he wants to eat it too. I really blame him for this war. He is responsible. He is as responsible as Bush. And even if he wins, and I hope Bush loses, but even if Kerry wins, we're not going to get out of this war easy, okay? Iraq is lost. We need to get the fuck out of there. And that, it bugs the hell out of Riz. And, well, you know, that really ticked Riz off, and he was always talking about getting, like, some big Democrat, some guy that worked for Kerry to call in the show and sort of ambush me, you know? It's like a ringer, you know? It's like, this guy, I guess it's like, have you ever seen, like, Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood? It's like, he was going to get, like, some hired gun, you know, to put me in my place, you know, some Kerry expert. And beat me down to nothing, you know. But You know, and I just said to Riz, go ahead, bring it on. I don't give a shit. I'm not afraid. I think, you know, we have some major fucking problems to deal with in the war. It's not even a war. I shouldn't even call it a war anymore. It's an occupation. And, you know, Kerry's not gonna, he's not the magic pill. Things are not gonna get better, you know, and Kerry really doesn't have really a real alternative to Bush's stay the course nonsense. And, you know, we're in trouble. But if any Kerry backers, they want to call me, you know, bring it on. Bring it on, you assholes. I'll give you the number. This is a live show. 415-738-0689. Okay. Now, you know what? I am going to take a break and play another Truby song. So, we'll be back in a little while. Okay, that was The Rain Keeps Falling by John Truby and the Ugly Janitors of America. Okay, now I want to talk a little bit about the debate, just a little bit. I saw it and tell you what I really liked was, you know, all the sour faces that Bush was making. He didn't like what Kerry was saying. He'd become like a sourpuss. He'd make all these little shriveled up faces. He was sort of like, he reminded me of like a boy that's been scalded. And at one point, I laughed during the debate. It was about, you know, the Polish thing, and I'll read you the transcript and I'll read you what what went down. Kerry is saying, secondly, when we went in, there was three countries, Great Britain, Australia, and the United States. That's not a grand coalition. We can do better. And Bush says, well, actually, he forgot Poland. And then he goes, and I laughed at that because it was just a fucking, it was like, you gotta be kidding me. And then he went on to say, and now there's a 30 nations, and that's a quote, and now there's 30 nations involved, standing side by side with our American troops, and I honor their sacrifices, and I don't appreciate it when candidate for president denigrates the contribution of these brave soldiers. You know, it's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. You know, I did a little homework on this. I found this just some facts at globalsecurity.org, and they say as of August 5th, 2004, there was 30 non-U.S. military forces contributing to the ongoing stability operations throughout Iraq. And I'm going to read you these countries: Albania, Australia, Azerbaijan, Bulgaria, Czech Republic, Denmark, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Estonia, Georgia, Hungary, Italy, Japan, Kazakhstan, South Korea, Latvia, Lithuania, Macedonia, Moldavia, Mongolia, Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Slovakia, Thailand, United Kingdom, and Ukraine. I mean, here Kerry is, you know, he's right. This is not a fucking grand coalition. It's a fucking joke. And it's like the press, I remember CNN, you know, they reported this as like an error that Kerry had made, you know, when he forgot to mention Poland. By the way, Poland committed 2,400 troops. None of them were in theater. Okay. Kerry only mentioned those three countries were the only countries that had soldiers in theater. But, I mean, this is not a mistake that Kerry made, okay, that the right-wing media would, and let me add to that, the corporate-dominated right-wing media would like to have you think, okay? Kerry didn't include Poland because he didn't really recognize Poland's importance, okay? And, you know, I mean, what is, you know, I mean, Poland, they have this like old fucking antiquated Soviet era armored vehicles. I mean, you gotta be fucking kidding me. You know, and also they're cutting back their soldiers. They're gonna reduce it by 1,000. I just wanted to, I don't know, that's all I really want to say about the debate. I'm sure that it's been really beat to death. Again, let me give you the phone number. It's 415-738-0689. This is a live talk show. And you can call if you want. If not, that's okay. I went over the reasons for that earlier in the show. What else? I'm gonna wrap the show up pretty soon. I just wanna bring a few little things up. One was like, I've been seeing all these Walmart commercials, and you know, it's like, what is this? It's like, in this Walmart commercial, it says, Walmart is embracing diversity. You know, well, of course they have to embrace diversity. I mean, you know, they wouldn't be able to operate it if they couldn't, exploit, poor black people. What the fuck kind of bullshit is that? Embracing diversity. I mean, and it's like they have a whole shitload of commercials telling about how wonderful Walmart is and how wonderful they treat their employees. I don't really read the news enough, but I imagine that Walmart is coming under some kind of political scrutiny or something. I know that they're blamed for sort of keeping the welfare state they're blamed for like exploiting the welfare state. It's like, they can get by with paying people such shit wages because they have the welfare state, to provide food stamps and some, medical care that Walmart doesn't cover. In fact, I don't know. They don't have a union, from what I understand. I don't know what they cover or not, but I know that if the welfare state didn't exist, Walmart would be in deep shit. And this all comes from tax dollars. So, it's like tax dollars are subsidizing low prices at Walmart. Just one other thing. I talked last week about Dunkin' Donuts and how, they have this tip cup, and they always, they have, wax paper right in front of them. I can see it. It's right in front of their eyes, and they don't, wrap your jelly donut in the wax paper. They just fucking shove it in the bottom of the bag, and it gets all jelly-ish and all gummy, and it's all over the place, man. It's a mess. Sucks. And I used to tip them, because I felt bad for them, But then I thought, well, what the fuck, man? Why am I tipping these assholes for? And, I mean, they may be poor schmucks, but, they should know enough to, help me out and put the fucking donut in some wax paper. I mean, what is that? But anyways, I stopped in the Dunkin' Donuts just the other day, and and it was sort of a tough order, because I had sort of added something to the order. I didn't order something by accident, and I decided even if they're assholes, I'm gonna give them a tip, And it came out to I ordered an extra large coffee. And it was $2.17, and I thought, well, I'll just give them the whole $2.25, and it's oh, fuck it. I'll just give them the money, and I'll be grateful. And I couldn't believe it. He just took the money, okay, the quarter, all right, and he just put it right in the fucking tip cup. I couldn't believe it. No, the change. I'm sorry. He took the change and put it in the tip cup. He didn't even ask me. I couldn't believe it. And I was so stunned. I was just speechless. I didn't know what to say. All right. Next week, I've been trying to do my bearing, the second part. If you've seen my website, talkwarrior.com, you'll see that, I did part one of the official bearing my soul episode, And I've been trying to do like part two for like weeks now, and I'm just having trouble doing it. And it's like part one, I unveil my soul about Jane, who I talked about in this in this show. But I bared my soul about her, you know, in a few shows earlier. And in this show, or what I wanted to do is this other woman, this really evil woman. And, I mean, Jane's pretty evil, but, you know, she, this woman, her name's Lisa, makes Jane look like Jesus Christ. By comparison. So, and I keep wanting to talk about her, and I don't know, something is just, I'm having like an emotional block. I really want to like get it out of the way. I want to get off my chest, but I'm blocked. I don't want to do it now because my voice is all beat to shit. Well, I am, you know what, I'm going to go to the credits, and I'm going to, I think I want to play that first song again that I played at the beginning. What was it? It was Triumph of the Damned, the Truby song. I'll play that, like, after I do the credits, I'll just play that, and that'll be it. I'll go home after that. You could stay, you know. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, or something like that. It's like, I'm doing Janine Garofalo. I'm doing her very badly. See, Janine Garofalo, she's like, she has this line. I love Janine. And in her act, this is when Janine, like, used to be, like, cool and funny. It's like 10 years ago. But she would have this line, and she would say, you know, when I take a guy over and I have sex with him, and I become like a bartender at the end of the night. And I'm like, you know, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I just thought, oh man, Janine is like God. she's brilliant. You know, I used to love Janine, but then she just got sort of selloutish and really, you know, I shouldn't really talk bad about her because I still have this like fantasy that someday, I'll meet her and I'll fuck her and she'll say to me, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And I thought, boy, that would be so cool to, you know, be like fucked and rejected by Janine Garofalo. I mean, that would really make my day. And, you know, she works now. She's for Air America. So I don't know. Maybe someday they'll listen to me and they'll think, well, maybe this guy's crazy enough to, you know, maybe we'll invite him. Maybe, I don't think they'd hire me, but, you know, they'd probably just, like, jerk me around, like, hire me, you know, like, take me down to for an interview, jerk me around and say, oh, your show is interesting. And they'll ask me a lot of questions and I'll have to take so much, like, Valium before the interview that I'll be so nervous, you know, that I won't even know what to say, and I'll come out all screwed up, and you know, because it's like, I'll be saying to myself, if you don't get this job, okay, you will never, ever be able to, get a job, be able to work, okay, you'll never be employed, and B, you will never ever get a chance to meet, have sex with Janine Garofalo, and have her kick you out, you know, after it's over, and the, just, you know, the concept of that is so terrifying that I'll just freak out. I mean, I wouldn't make it through the interview. I don't think they're interested in me. I'm just too like weird for them. I'm just like, I don't fit, like, you know, it's like liberals hate me, left wingers hate me, and I don't understand why, because I'm the biggest Bush basher ever and I hate the fuckers. But, you know, I think I understand why. I think that they're so fucking conceited and they're so into their own ideology that, you know, I'm like lower, you know, I'm like beneath them, you know, because they probably don't approve of my antics, you know, or my crass language, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I hate them. I mean, if I didn't hate right-wingers even more, I'd become one, because I hate left-wingers. And not because I don't hate them inherently. I hate them because they hate me. And I'm hurt by them. I'm emotionally hurt. Unlike, you know, when George Bush, you know, had to be a sissy cheerleader and wave around pom-poms because he had sexual identity problems, well, that's how I become emotionally. When I'm sort of marginalized by left wingers, it hurts me. Okay, let me just have a little sip of water and we'll do the credits. I'll tell you what, while I'm having a sip of water, I'll give you a last chance to call me. I know it's not going to happen, but what the fuck? 415-738-0689. 415-738-0689. Okay. Drinking water. Blah, blah, blah. One other thing. This is like the first show I've ever done sober. I have a lot of trouble with my voice, and it's thought that it's caused by reflux and acid reflux, and drinking is really not very good for it. So I didn't really, like, quit drinking, but, you know, I made a rule. I'm never going to bring it into the house. From now on, I'm just a social drinker. So if I'm out of the house and you're Janine Garofalo and you want to, you know, fuck me or whatever, get me drunk, fuck me, kick me out, give me a drink. Okay. Here's the credits. I'd like to thank John Truby for allowing us to play his great songs. For more information about John Truby, please go to our website at talkwarrior.com. I would also like to thank the God of my original father, Abraham, who gives me the energy and courage to fight evil. I dedicate the show to the people around the world who fight fascism, tyranny, imperialism, economic injustice, and racism. This show is a copyrighted broadcast of the TalkWarrior.com radio network, and it may not be rebroadcast or distributed without the express written consent of the TalkWarrior.com radio network. And if you dare fuck with our copyright, I will personally take my foot and I'll step on your throat. I'll rip your lungs out. No, I won't do that. I'll just probably get my stepfather, who's like a lawyer, to send you like a scary lawyer letter. But I won't be stepping on your throat. Don't worry. Well, we will see you again next week at Sunday at 7 o'clock p.m. Actually, you know something? I've been doing a lot of thought about this, and I might even move the show to 3 o'clock, and the reason is because I'm so tired. You know, it's like now it's 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, And it's just too late. And it's like I can't get any work done during the day because I'm too anxious about the show. And so I'm really seriously considering making the show Sunday afternoon at like around 3 or so. So I'm not... Check the website. Please see our website, talkwarrior.com, for updated information about the show. Now, let me cue up. I'm probably going to be playing a lot of this song during the intro, but I'll just leave you with this song. It's I'll play it again. It's Field of it's not that. It is Triumph of the Damned, and I'm just it's a new song by Truby, and I just can't believe what a great song this is. It just takes my breath away. It's just unfucking real. Well, okay. Goodbye, everyone. Oops, sorry, that was Field of Corpses. Sorry, I fucked up. Here we go.